Hey, welcome everyone. This is We Watch Stuff number 130, the big 130. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves this week.
Let's hopefully everyone is. So we're a little late scheduling, but we wanted to do this when the movie came out, but it doesn't seem to be hype going anywhere. The both of us, I don't know if that's proper English, have seen or went and saw Black Panther opening day. So if you haven't seen the movie, here's your prerequisite. Stop listening or just get the movie spoiled. It's up to you. So we both agree this was a good movie. To try and understate things.
That is a grave and usual understatement. You know, your dry tone would save the day again. The funny thing was, thinking about the movie, I was wondering, like, who hasn't seen it yet? But then I know some people try to see it, and it's been sold out. I had a friend that lives in Minnesota. He said yesterday he tried to see it at, like, 3:30 in the afternoon. It was sold out.
Wow. Well, when I tried, I didn't think this would be, I mean, you know it was going to do money, but this amount of money, no. But then I also didn't think every Thursday night show would be sold out. That was insanity. And the only reason I was able to see it opening day Thursday, well, technically the early release, which we need to talk about a little bit, they added 5 shows at 10 o'clock. We have a 22 house theater here. So I believe 12 to 15 of those was Black Panther on Thursday night, between 7 and 10, because there were no midnight shows or anything. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Thor didn't do this. Ant-Man for sure. Wonder Woman, I don't believe did it either.
No, this is basically like First Avengers Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like this. Like, I was looking at the breakdown, like, different theaters. They said it was, like, one theater in Atlanta on Friday. They showed it 84 times. They made 600 grand from Black Panther alone for the weekend. One theater.
That's ticket sales, obviously, right?
Yes. Yeah. Just ticket sales. Not even count, like, food or anything like that.
Well,
$600,000.
That's where I was going with the joke there. So.
Yeah.
I think it was you that put up. Was it you or Cam or Travis? Somebody putting... movie's going to make $4,000 in the theater per show. Concession stand's going to make $4. Something like that.
That was Cam.
I was one of them. So. But, yeah. I didn't expect this level of madness about it. Like, you knew it was going to be popular.
Yeah.
Because it had a built-in audience. On top of that, it had another built-in audience. That they've, as we talked about before the movie even came out, that they specifically and purposely, you know, they purposely did it this way.
But you know what's funny? They did it, but it was almost by accident. Like, it wasn't their original plan to do it. Because I was looking back at it, and they changed the date twice. Like, originally it wasn't supposed to come out in February. Like, it moved first when Spider-Man came out. Then it moved again when Ant-Man and the Wasp was announced. So it got moved to February. Originally, it was not supposed to come out in February. And it's kind of like, even a company that's as smart as Marvel, that knows how to market, I don't even think they realized what they had. Like, no, and we were, and I was making a joke like a long time ago, like, you know, people are underestimating how much this movie's going to make. And I can tell you exactly when I knew it was going to be special. And I made the joke on Facebook, but I'll go deeper into it. Now, black people do not show up on movies on time, half the time. And they especially don't show up early. And we got there at 6:20 for a 7 o'clock show. I don't live in a big city. I live, like, in the suburbs of the military city. But it's like has, like, a sizable black population. I get there at 6:20. The parking lot's packed. Mm-hmm. I get to the theater, and they're like, okay, so it's going to be, you know, a large crowd. But it was a large crowd. But it wasn't, like, a typical comic crowd where that's normally, like, I want to say, mostly, like, comic crowd Thursday first show. Mostly male, mostly white, you know, between ages of mid-20s to, like, mid-40s. The first 3 people I saw were, like, they had them in their 60s. Like, I saw a lot of old people. I saw a lot of people, and I saw people, like, dressed up. Like, people making jokes about on social media about that. Like, no, that was a thing. Like, people were dressed up to the nines. People brought their kids, grandkids, and I'm like, yeah, this is different. This isn't like, you know, a Marvel movie. This is like a movie where, and I talked to you about, like, I had never thought I'd see a movie like this, you know, like something like this big. And I think there's a lot of people that probably never thought they'd see it. So, you know, it's been hype. So I see kids there, adults there. I told you, like, my mom saw this. She's never seen a comic movie in her life. She goes to the movies like maybe once every 2 years, and she went. So once I saw that and I saw that demographic, I'm like, yeah, this is going to do business. And spoiler alert, this is the first movie I went to where people applauded three times when the movie was over. They applauded when the movie was over. They applauded after the first post-credit scene, and then they applauded after the second post-credit scene. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And then I just laugh, and like when they had the original box office, like, you know, we'll be happy if we're scheduled to make $80 to $90 million for the weekend, not count Monday. And the fact that it did more than double that, it's kind of like people are like, I had no idea this would happen.
Do you have the official total in front of you, like the real total? Because I know you were making the jokes every time, like they put the numbers out, it would be wrong. And like, have it now?
As of now, let me see the most recent one, because I had it up there. Because I know yesterday set the mark for, like, biggest Marvel number for Tuesday. So as of right now, it is at $263 million, which is the second biggest number of all time behind The Force Awakens.
Damn.
Yes. Not just of Marvel, like, movies period. Like, it made $202 million for the weekend, which was fifth highest. It made $242 million counting President's Day, which was the second highest behind Force Awakens. So yeah, so this movie is not doing, like, you know, people were thinking this movie may do like Marvel, Thor, Doctor Strange numbers, and this movie is making Avengers, Star Wars numbers.
Yeah. I'm trying to equate it, because I guess, well, part of it, the cultural part, obviously. And second, it was a character at least that you saw some of. Now, which was funny, as I was talking to my friend Tramika, and she hadn't seen it yet, but she said one of her friends did. She thought it was okay. And she goes, well, you know, maybe it was just because I'd never seen the guy before, so it's new. And she goes, he was in Civil War. And the girl didn't remember it, and she goes, you never saw Civil War then. And that's been bothering me all day. Like, how could you watch a movie and not realize he was in it?
You'd be surprised. I laugh when people, like, surprised by that. I'm like, everyone doesn't watch movies like we watch movies. Like, it's people who are like, oh, this happened in this. It's like people who cover movies who don't remember the details. And you have to be, to be perfectly honest, it's a large population of people. Like, this is the first Marvel movie they've seen. So, and I know it's kind of like part of a new character, but that's also kind of like a detriment, because really up until Civil War came out, how many people really knew Black Panther? Like, I mean, really, really, like, unless you like a big comic fan, he wasn't like on the cartoon. He wasn't like on a whole bunch of cartoons. He didn't have, like, this big cultural impact. Like, it was kind of, like, a known thing, but not really known. Like, if you weren't a comic fan, you heard the term, but you didn't really know that much about him. And the real funny thing is kind of, like, it really happened by accident. Like, he had the biggest role as he did in Civil War because they weren't sure if they could get Spider-Man. Like, just think about how different it'd be, like, if they knew they wouldn't get Spider-Man in that movie, and they kind of, like, put, you know, T'Challa to the background of Civil War. Like, it's funny, as wise as Marvel is, they kind of, like, lucked out in this case. Like, a lot of things had to break a certain way for this to kind of, like, turn the way it turned out. So, no, I'm not surprised that she had that, you know, thing, because, like, Civil War, a lot of stuff happened, like, to be perfectly honest. And it's kind of like, if unless you pay attention, you just remember all of this stuff. Yeah, I could easily see her saying that.
I don't know, man. To me, he was outside of Captain America and Iron Man, he was the most important person in the movie. So it's like, yeah. Anyways, who gives a shit? I don't know this person. But so at least he's got. I was trying to equate like Guardians of the Galaxy or Ant-Man. What other Marvel movie had someone just appear?
Is that Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange, yes. And that's really it. And Doctor Strange did, I think, what they expected it to. And I kind of liken this, which I'm glad you mentioned that one. I liken this movie to Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy. Because Doctor Strange took place on Earth, but then it took place in a totally different world. But it still looked like an Earth that was relatable. Guardians of the Galaxy, you're in space. Totally new environment, it was something new. And then you get to this movie, and this is what I was telling you, this is one of the things I really liked about it. It's in Wakanda, somewhere on the continent of Africa. Which they did a very good job of hiding where it would be. They always started with a close-up, so I just thought that was funny. And then you see the outside, and then you see your sheep herders, or what the hell are those people called? Farmers, whatever. And then
those things called farmers.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to warm back up. It's been a rough week. So you see the shepherds, farmers, and then you see, oh, what was his name? They did not call him the White Ape. What the hell was his name? M'Baku? Was that who was the White Ape? Yeah. Then they showed his people, as they set the stage in the beginning. And then when you got there, and you're like, oh, okay, this looks like, whatever, National Geographic, whatever. And I've never been over there. And then all of a sudden, you go through this dome, and there's this super city in the middle of it. And I was like, excuse me? And here we go. And it was, you're in a totally different world, but you're still on the same planet, which is something Doctor Strange didn't do to that extent. And then even when they did go outside of Wakanda, yes, we had Oakland, okay. But then we went to South Korea, which, can you name a movie where they've been in South Korea that's not from that section of the world?
The closest I want to say is Age of Ultron. They were either in like Korea or Hong Kong, like that scene when they were chasing like down Vision's body. And I'm like, that's other than that, like no, yeah. Yeah, like I said, that movie came out a while ago. It's like you forget everything that went on in that movie. But I'm trying to remember, like it was somewhere in, I don't remember if it's China, Hong Kong, or Korea. But that's the closest. But it's kind of like, yeah, who would think of going to Busan, South Korea? So, no, yeah. When I saw that scene, you should have saw the reaction in my face. Like, I think one of the biggest things is kind of like, I'm glad I saw it, was the crowd I saw it, because it's kind of like, it's different. Because it's kind of like, we've talked about it. When you go to black movies with a predominantly, when you go to, ethnic movies with, a predominantly ethnic crowd, it's almost like a party. Like, it's just fun, and everybody's there to have a good time, and it, really elevates the movie. So, the first, when I saw that, when they get to Wakanda and they first show it, my jaw just dropped. I'm like, this is just so gorgeous. But it looked real. And that's the, it's kind of like the whole thing, it didn't look fake, it didn't look kind of artificial, Asgard looks pretty, but it looks like, somebody took a Apple laptop and threw it together, it doesn't look, it kind of looks like a screenshot, and it always felt it doesn't feel lived in, and it's kind of like, of course, it's a CGI city, it's an alien city, of course it's going to look that way, it didn't have that, living feel, and this kind of felt like, this felt lived in, but it's like, yeah, if a country had almost unlimited wealth and didn't have to worry about war, what could it do? And it was like, this is just amazing. You kind of touched on it, and it's kind of really Ryan Coogler's a genius. It's kind of thinking about, he's 31 years old. He does Fruitvale Station, Creed, and this. That's a hell of a way to start the career. And, you can just tell, each way kind of, you can see the skill there. Everything looked beautiful. And, I put in my Facebook post, I'm so glad that he has the ability to show black skin in a proper way, because that's something that's bothered me for so long. And it's something you don't notice until you see it the right way, because then when you see it the right way, it just looks wrong.
Okay, I don't mean to stop you, but I need you to explain that. And I purposely didn't ask you about it because I figured it was going to come up, and if it was, I was going to bring it up. I have no idea what you're talking about, to be completely honest.
Okay.
So
it's something about when they film, and I won't get into like the detail or anything like that. When they film skin tone, whatever technology they use, it does not pick up black skin the correct way. Like, it's not like a one lens fits all. And it's kind of like it's like a washed out, worn out look. And you don't notice it because you just see it all the time on, like, you know, regular movies and regular shows. Until you start seeing people who do it the right way. Like, this is like one of the first movies. Like, I've seen the TV shows where they've done it the correct way. But this is like the first movie. Like, you see how Lupita looked? You see how her skin just glowed? Like, I saw her, like, her skin is almost glowing on the damn screen. Like, it didn't look too greasy. It didn't look washed out. It didn't look like she had, you know, typhoid fever. It just looked like somebody had like a 4K TV and it's just popping. Like, they had the 4K filter and just put it on the maximum. Like, it's just, they knew how to film black people to have them look like normal black people, not washed out or like a funny hue. And it's kind of like, if you never seen it before, you wouldn't notice. It's almost kind of like you wouldn't know you need glasses the first time you put on glasses.
Like, yeah, like somebody in this house recently.
So. Yeah, like I remember, because that was me. Like I think I wore glasses probably 2 to 3 years after I needed them. Because I didn't realize how the world looked. I put on glasses first time. I'm like, wow. I missed a lot of stuff. Like, it's just an eye-opener. And you just wonder, like, how much stuff have I missed? No, and not even realize it. And that's just how, and that's how this movie was. It's like, you know, this is stuff like that. Like, it was just the first time you've seen that, and that's kind of the whole thing about why it wasn't just a movie with black people. It was a black movie, and not just actors. People like behind the scenes where, you know, the jokes you can tell were organic, the clothing, the different cultures. Because just think about, it's not just a futuristic movie. It's like an African movie where it's like weaving in all these different African cultures as well as then with African American cultures. Like, you got to know what you're doing to do that without kind of like pissing off people or messing up. And yeah, I give kudos to Coogler. I give kudos to his team. And I give kudos to Marvel, because we'll get into it. I don't make the comment like a lot of people do. Like, I was talking to you before saying like, I was getting mad about certain reviews because they always have this attitude where, you know, and the worst part is like they keep doing it. They always move the goalposts because they did the same thing with kind of the Winter Soldier. Like, oh, this is the first adult comic movie you had, not like these chump change kiddie stuff you had before. Like, they can't give, you know, compliments to a movie without trashing the other movies beforehand. And I was hearing a lot of that with Black Panther, like, you know, this is the first time it did adult stuff, not like that kid stuff there. I'm like, no, because if you break down, I mean, like, and I would pay more credence if I heard that line with like three or four different movies. Like, I heard the same line for Winter Soldier. I heard the same line for Civil War. Like, you know, I've heard that line before, and it's kind of like, no, just, you don't have to elevate something by trashing something else. Having said that, this is a different type of Marvel movie. Like, they talk about things that most mainstream movies don't talk about, and especially comic movies, and it kind of like felt different, and not necessarily a bad way, but you can tell like this is a different type of Marvel movie where it's like, yeah, they're talking about serious stuff that you normally wouldn't equate to. Not just comic movies, mainstream movies, like a big budget movie. Like, you don't really talk about like black isolationism versus, you know, revolutionary stuff and, you know, black on, basically, like, you know, what's the proper path for black people? Like, that's not something you put a $200 million budget on and have that be the basis of the movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything. Like, there's obviously been the movies, but yeah, you're right. Nothing with that. There's been, if you want to put mainstream movies, but that's always what they call the Oscar bait. They don't mean it. They're just going for the awards. And then you see the monster that was probably behind most of them. You're like, oh yeah, definitely. It wasn't for any sort of social progress or to make a statement. It was just to get those posters and the awards and blowjobs in the shower. So, I don't know, man. I'm with you I mean, this is oddly one of those we're agreeing with everything. I think one the social aspect of it, when you saw in the beginning just the kids playing basketball, and I'm like, why are they showing this? And then he's like, oh, it's his brother. I'm like, oh, okay. And then when they go back at the end, and this is one of the things that is going to be lost on the main audience. If you didn't read, and really it took a lot from Christopher Priest's run, which is considered like the quintessential or the essential, whatever, run for Black Panther, is he had all of his little, he didn't say call them wellness centers, but what the hell was it called? Whatever it was called. He has a bunch of those set up. And this being a young version of Black Panther, he's very, God, I can't think today, man. His intentions are good right now, but later on, he becomes like Batman, basically. And yes, he helps people out, and he goes, all right, you're my spy now. And they're like, what? And he goes, I helped you out, and I'm going to continue to help you and help the community, but you're going to do my bidding for me, and you're going to report back, and you're going to stay out of trouble as well. So I thought that was cool, because it makes him seem like this stand-up guy right now, but then just knowing, depending on how far this goes, mind you,
yeah,
what it can become. So,
you know the funny thing about that, though? It's almost like they gave those qualities to his dad.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I doubt they, based on how the movie broke down, I mean, it's open for them to take that path, but I doubt they would take that path. But, no, the scenes about Oakland, like, one, Ryan Coogler's from Oakland. And two, it fleshes out the story. Like, if that's one of the things I like about the movie. Like, it felt it was on Earth. Like, it felt like a real story, like, on planet Earth. Like, you know, you see these type of people and everything like that. And can we give Sterling Brown, I don't know what happened. Maybe because he got mad Courtney B. Vance just knocked him out the park in People versus O.J. Simpson and got that award. But Sterling Brown's been on a damn
street. That's who that is.
That's who that is,
yeah.
That
was driving me insane. I was like, I know it's the guy from that NBC show, which I can't remember the name of.
This is Us.
Yes. And then I'm watching going, I know him from something. And then, yeah, that's it. Okay.
Like, he just has a thing. Like, he was in the movie for like 5 minutes, and you remember. Like, he put a weight there. Like, I'm watching that scene you see there, and you're thinking, what's going on? And then T'Chaka shows up. And then you figure out, okay, they're brothers, they like that. When you find out, like, his partner is a spy on him, the crowd was like,
yeah,
gas. I was like, this, you didn't see that coming. And you see that scene, you see how it breaks down, and it's like, you know, just, and it's okay, it delves into a part where it's a complicated thing, because you can see where Sterling Brown's coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like, you know, I'm there as a spy, I see all people who look like me going through all this, I know I have a country that can do something about it, and we're not doing something about it. Like, yeah, that would kind of, like, any person with a heart, that's going to affect you. And you can see where that path leads away. But at the same time, you can see where T'Chaka's coming from. It's like, you open up these doors don't, you know, you just can't close them up again. Like, it's a double-edged sword where you can see where both sides are coming from. And it's not really like a right or wrong thing. It's just a matter of perspective. And it's like been, like, we'll get into the whole debate. And I'll just say a quick thing. No, because it's kind of like,
that's what,
like,
it's going to be, I think. So
no,
we'll be curious on this one.
Yeah. No, because it's kind of like, you can see where isolationism comes from, like, why people do it. Even though, like, at the end, it's kind of like, it doesn't help you out because China did that. And ended up getting, like, lapped, where people, they went from being ahead of everything to people passing them by because they never opened up. Japan had to deal with playing catch up once they opened up. United States, it kind of bit them in the ass. But at the same time, it's a lot of countries that'd be better off if other countries kind of minded their business. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, if you look at the middle, like, if you look at South America, the Middle East, and Africa, it's like, I'm sure they wish some of these other countries were kind of like isolationists, kind of like, you know, do your thing your own and keep you out of it. Like, the world would probably look like a different place. So it's really like a matter of perspective as far as that goes. So you can see both sides, where they're coming from and why they're making decisions they're making. And you can also, but at the same time, and we'll get to them, you can see why the villain became the villain, because it's kind of like, you know, you've come out and your dad's been teaching you everything about Wakanda. It's kind of like, this is his dream world. One day I want to take you. And you find out he's murdered by his brother. And then they leave and just leave you there to keep a damn secret, knowing what you're going through, knowing what they could do for you just to cover their own ass. Like, how do you think that's going to turn out?
Mm-hmm. I like the... I don't know how far I want to get into it yet, but... Yeah, I like the fact that the villain had... There was a sympathetic villain, and then there was just Claw. Who I was really enjoying. Like, Claw was kind of like the Joker, just... causing chaos. Like, you know, he goes in... Like, Michael B. Jordan does everything. And yeah. he even saves Claw. And then... you know, then he offs him. But then it's like, he was the guy doing everything... Michael B. Jordan's the guy doing everything, and then Claw was just running around with his goofy-ass fake hand, which cracked me up when I saw it.
Can we talk about how awesome Andy Serkis was in that?
I was going to get to that, too, yeah.
Like, yeah. We might as well, like, it was just amazing, because it's like, he doesn't, like, we know he's talented, but he never gets to be, like, a human in anything, because he's always playing, like, a CGI motion capture thing, and, like, two things I know, like, what, one... I don't know if they use CGI with him. He had on a big ass coat, or he's been doing CrossFit like you, because he looked like he's been lifting weights. Yeah, he looked kind of big, and I'm like, yeah, he's been doing something. And two, not only the fact that he has some of the funniest lines, is that they sounded natural. Like, I would never expect Andy Serkis talking about a SoundCloud link and it not sound cringeworthy. Because you know, when it's like the white guy do black humor, half the time it just comes off as flat as old ass soda. Because it's like, oh, they're just putting words in there. But with him, it just seems so damn natural. Like, everything about him was just like, he was just coming there just chewing the damn scenery and just having fun. Like, the whole thing, he's like, okay, I'm going to let you run. The dude runs 5 steps and he pops them. And they're like, why? It's like, you know, make it like amateurs do it. Like, everything he did seemed like random. But it all made sense. Mm-hmm. When he's just strolling in there in South Korea, and Ross is like, you know, you come in here like, this is like a rat posse. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, my mixtape about to come out. You want me to send you the SoundCloud link? And people out there just start rolling, because it's kind of like, that's a, like a, you know, a very recent joke where it's like, you know, if you, like, 45, 50 years old, you have no idea what he's talking about when somebody's talking about a SoundCloud link.
Yeah.
If you're somebody on Twitter that goes about that, you know exactly what he's talking about. So hearing him say something like that, and it makes sense in the context of the thing, it's just hilarious. Him saying, you know, when the getaway vehicle play some music, it sounds like a funeral. Like, who says something? Like, you know who said, like, Jack Nicholson Joker says stuff like that. You normally don't hear, like, you know, villains playing that type of role, and they're not coming off just weak. Like, he was... Jared Leto wishes he was as cool as Andy Serkis was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't put the two together, but yeah. I think that goes for everything DC outside of Wonder Woman, mind you, but... DC just wishes they could do what Marvel's doing. And there's really nothing on the horizon that will make you think they can, but... Anyways,
nope.
Yeah, I was going to bring up that fact too. He was good in Ultron, and then I thought he was great in this, and then they kill him, and I'm thinking, wait, what are we doing? Because Panther doesn't have a whole lot of guys, and a lot of his from the runs I was reading, I'm not up to date on my comic reading anymore, but. So I don't know, maybe this has changed, but he doesn't have a very deep rogues gallery. I mean, it's Claw, White Wolf, Killmonger, which...
Yeah, that's the main ones, kind of like the main ones, Doctor Doom and Namor are like the two big ones.
Namor and him?
He tried to flood, he flooded Wakanda. Like, that was a big comic storyline. Wow. Namor, like, and people have been talking about, like, the two that's kind of left or the big ones that they may be able to use now, like Namor and Doctor Doom. Like, yeah, and, you know, the dip in the rabbit hole, if you want to bring the X-Men in, Namor is a great backdoor considering, like, he's technically a mutant, and you can say mutants now. So, but no, like, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I know it fit the story because it kind of, like, you know, one of the beasts between him and, like, between T'Challa and some of the characters, Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out, it's kind of like, you know, Claw killed his dad. He said he's going to bring Claw back. He doesn't bring Claw back. So it's like he's feeling a certain way. So when somebody else gets revenge, it's like, okay, he did what my king couldn't. So I'm more open to listen to him. Having said that, it's kind of like, you know, that tells you how well you like how well the character does his job when you're mad that he dies. Because normally it's kind of like, you know, if he was like, or like an empty thing, you wouldn't really matter. The fact that it's kind of like, oh, man. Because I was thinking the same thing. It's like, I liked him. And it was funny thinking about that because he wasn't the main villain, but he just did his job so well and just opened everything up. It's like, yeah, kudos to Andy Serkis for getting some love. And we talked about the scene first. So the first time you see Eric Killmonger, I'll just say, one, it's something about Michael B. Jordan to just drive women insane. Like, I didn't, like, I knew it was something there, but I didn't know it was like this. I'm like, good, women lose their, they would lose their damn minds. Let's say something about somebody like as handsome as Chadwick Boseman was, like, he kind of like was like the fifth, sixth most thing that struck out about this movie. So, of course, you see Michael B. Jordan with the goopy haircut. He's got the nice jacket. He's, you know, in the museum talking about the different things, like how much, where's this from, like you're wondering where it leads to. And then he's like, oh, you know, this is from Wakanda, somebody stole it, you know, I'm here to get it. And she's like, this is not for sale. And he's like, oh, so how do you think you guys get it? You think you paid, you know, the correct price? And the crowd was like, ooh, like that's a different type of thing. It's kind of like, you know, you a black fan, like you a black person, you hear that, like it's just such a loaded thing when you kind of know, like, no, Indiana Jones himself is cool because, like, he's going there. He wants to put stuff in a museum. But the idea, like, you know, a lot of archaeology, like, I'm going to just steal something and then put it in there and charge people to come see it. It's like, it kind of leaves, they don't really talk about too much besides, like, Tomb Raider a little bit. So to hear something like that loaded in, like, a Marvel movie, it's like, yeah, Ike Perlmutter would have never let that damn line in the movie. I was thinking that watching this, like, yeah, this is a different type of Marvel because some of the stuff they let in, I'm like, I'm shocked at it. So you see that, and of course they're, you know, arguing like that. And then he's making a good point, like, you know, you got all these security guards watching me. You're worried about me more than what you worry about putting in your body. As she's choking to death on her damn coffee. Like, and then you realize, okay, this is a different type of villain. Like, this ain't just, I'm just going to come in here and frown my face up and I'm going to take over the world. It's like, you know, I'm pissed off. And I'm righteous, and I have a reason to do what I'm doing. So it lays the groundwork for you rooting for him. But he does enough stuff, and if you really think about it, realize, no, let's nip this in this bud thing. I know people would come out this whole Killmonger was right thing. No, he wasn't. Let me come out and say that right now. He was not the hero and that just ended in the wrong way. It was nothing heroic about him. His idea, like, you know, the passion behind him was righteous. What made him what he was definitely understandable. Because it's kind of like, you see his background, you see who trained, and like, Everett Ross made a big other, like, we made him this way so he could come down, tear down the country, and take it over during times of stress and crisis. Like, we made him into a weapon. So all the stuff built for him is all justified. His idea is lunacy. And, like it's straight lunacy. Yeah, you know, like, I'm gonna aim up the war dogs and all over the world. We gonna do this and that. I'm like, last time I checked, we're still only 13% of the United States. You can give us as many vibranium rhinos and super spirits all you want. And you can go ahead and give them, you can train up a group of Crips and Bloods and like that. They not taking over Beverly Hills. Like, you think Iron Man is gonna go let that slide?
Yeah.
I'm like, the idea sound nice until you really think about it. And then the whole silent point is like, you're just trading in one dictator for another. Mm-hmm. That's not the way. Like, his idea unfortunately works because, you know, most countries have been, or most wars have been won by, like, people being ruthless and like that. That doesn't make it right. Like, people like saying Magneto was right. I'm like, no, that just sounds nice for a t-shirt. But you being persecuted and your idea of dealing with it is persecuting them and you in charge. Yeah, that works if that's you. And that works if, you know, if I'm Magneto's cousin, then that's great. If I'm Joe Blow, then, how he my hero? So, yeah, I just wanted to put that up to think, because I've seen a lot of those think pieces coming up and proclaiming that, and people saying, oh, Marvel made a movie that's anti-revolutionary. They want you to be corporate, black, conservative puppets like Luke Cage preaches the same thing. And I just wanted to say, shut up.
Yeah, see, I was firmly in the belief that, yeah, no, that's one. Didn't really consider that aspect of, yeah, they're not going to roll in here and do anything. But, yeah, I was like, that's really not the way you want to go about, freeing people, and then two, and I'm saying free with air quotes, but then two, his plan was almost to change, like, all right, we're going to do this now, and that makes everything okay. Like, well, the past isn't forgotten, the past isn't forgiven, so it's really not going to work. And I actually thought that's what was going to happen, though. The weapons get out, and that's what I expected, like, the second one to be. Because they didn't really get into the war dogs and all that. They explained a little bit of it, but they're the spies all over the place. And, spoilers, obviously, the White Wolf is his brother that runs the war dogs. So at the end, in the final credits, after credits scene with Bucky, they yelled White Wolf, and I was like, oh, here we go, that's where he's been the whole movie. And then out comes Bucky, and I was like, wait, what? they're not going to make him the White Wolf. And then I was like, oh, okay. I mean, so let's talk about the Bucky thing real quick. I know we're kind of all over here. I was reading where people were asking, like, Ryan Coogler, like, well, why wasn't Bucky in the movie more? Well, one, why would he be?
To do what?
He was frozen at the end of Civil War. So seeing him out in the jungle or wilderness, whatever you want to call it, that was kind of a surprise. But then, why? Why would he be included? You had the joke down. What was his sister? What did his sister say? Another broken white boy for me to fix.
Another broken white boy for me to fix.
And all right, see, I don't know what fun crowds. I need to fly down and go to shows with you, because my crowds are usually kind of boring. They laugh at the right parts. They do this, but like no one cheered. Nothing. No one really laughed when she said that.
Oh my!
And goodness. I'm like,
we busted out laughing. Like that got some. That got some damn laughs, because it's just so. Because it's funny where, and like the whole Bucky thing to my why didn't use him. I was like, because then you use him, then people are like, oh, so you need a white guy to save the day in a black movie? Because it's like, because that's where that criticism leads. Like, no. And it kind of leads the whole thing about people were complaining about how they use Everett Ross. No, they use him perfectly.
Yes. Like, we'll get to that in a second,
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But it's like, no, you don't need that. And that's the difference between what crowd you see. And I was wondering, like, when I was reading certain reviews, and certain reviewers were saying, like, you know, the movie doesn't really pick up till you get to South Korea. Without seeing the movie, I don't know what they mean. I'm like, is the movie slow? Is it dull? And then watching the movie, it's like, okay. So they didn't like the black world building. Like, that part was kind of boring to them. Like, they waited till it turns like a typical Marvel thing, and that's when they start having fun again. I'm like, yeah. So it's the same thing where it's kind of like a lot of Luke Cage critics. Like, certain things can be criticized about it. Certain things is just the whole thing. Like, they can't say, well, I don't get it because it's not important to me. I don't understand that. I mean, that's the honest thing, but you'll rarely hear a critic say that. Instead, they'll play it off saying, oh, it's a pacing thing. And like, there's nothing boring about the whole scene when, one, they first get there. We even skip the first scene, like, you know, they flying a ship. And she using her damn hands.
Yeah, that was
pretty
cool.
And it's like, you know, she's there, like, freeing Nakia, and Nakia is basically freeing herself. And it's kind of like, can we point out the thing about Lupita's character? She was right. When people say who had the right path, she had the right path, because she had Killmonger's idea without the violence and stupidity. Had they just listened to her from Jump Street, things would have been a lot better. But if that's not a representation of how society goes, when people say, you know, things be a lot better if you listen to a black woman instead of two black men just arguing over each other, because it's like people bring like whose point was right, and people like, she was, why aren't we just talking about that? But anyway, it's kind of like, I would love for you to come down and see my crowd, because the jokes that hit, they hit. Like, the one, I'll point out one, for example, and I wonder how playoff you're there. When he's there, before he puts the new suit on, and he shows them the same, like, he shows his sister the sandals, and she busts out the what are those joke. Did people laugh in your theater?
Okay, you know me. I'm kind of loud anyways. I was laughing. And I think some other people were laughing. But it wasn't like an uproarious laughter, if you want to put it that way. Like, it wasn't a noticeable thing. Like, you know, my section, yeah, because I probably drowned everyone out. That, the white boy, what was the... And all right, it's always like racial jokes, if you want to put it that way. Those are the ones that made me laugh the most. Because, one, you're not expecting it. And then, two, it's a Marvel movie. You're definitely not expecting it.
Yeah.
And then they're funny, too.
Like, mine, I almost spit my popcorn out. Because, one, I hadn't heard that. Like, you know, that joke was funny for a while. Then you didn't bring it back. And it's kind of like, okay, I forgot about that joke. So to see it pop out was like, one, because it's popped out perfectly. Two, enough time had passed for that joke to be played out, for it to be funny again. Three, when would you think you would hear that type of joke in a damn Marvel movie? And it's like, he's sitting there, like, and can we talk about Shuri? Like, she was awesome in that movie. Like, his sister. And just think about kind of like the smartest person that's in charge of R&D is this little girl making millennial jokes. And the whole thing when he filmed, like, you know, go ahead, kick the suit. First time he kicks, he knocks it off the stand. She's like, what are you trying to do? He said, kick, like, don't kick it and roll it. Like, tap it. And then the next time, basically she set him up, like, you know, just go ahead, kick it. He kicks it, flies 15 feet in the air, lands. We stay laughing. Then she's there recording it, like, yeah. Yes. That got a damn laugh. It's
and
like,
he pops up, says, get rid of, or delete that.
Yeah. Kind of like, and you could tell they were like brother and sister, and they kind of played off like, you know, she gave them the finger and anything like that. Like, yeah. The family stuff felt like family stuff, and it felt, the movie felt organic, and it didn't, like, I know why people have been, because I've heard the criticism, like they said, like, Marvel's been too jokey lately, and I think the issue's been the last three movies before this was Guardians, Spider-Man, and Thor, and all of them had plenty of jokes for, like, various reasons. And it's like, if you see those movies back to back to back, you're thinking, oh, you know, Marvel's just joke-a-thon. Not thinking, like, the movies before that was like Doctor Strange and Civil War, where it wasn't like a whole bunch of humor going on. And then you're thinking, like, I doubt it's going to be a whole bunch of jokes when Infinity War pops up. So I think it's just a matter of, like, when you watch the movies. Like, this movie had humor, but it was, like, not, like, the humor was, like, you know, it was there, and then it kept moving on the story. Like, it was enough to, like, space things out, but when it hit, it hit. So that's one thing I like about was they sprinkled in enough humor so it wasn't, slumming and glowing. But the humor was also kind of, like, it was funny, but if you're in a black and black culture, it was real funny. If you're not, then some of that stuff is going to miss. Like, the Michael B. Jordan line where he's like, hi, auntie. That's a very specific cultural joke, because that's something like, you know, we joke around with our family like that. And that got some, like, something simple like that got a whole bunch of laughs, because you know someone like that make that type of joke. You make that joke with your family. So it felt like, you know what's funny? I think no one ever said it before. It felt like a well-done Tyler Perry movie with a super budget, some of the jokes there. And I never thought I would say that watching a big-budget comic book movie. And also, spoiler alert, Tyler Perry was working on his new, you know, he just finished upgrading his new, you know, he has his own studio. So he was like, you know, we just finished our new sets and things like that. And the first movie that got to work on it was Black Panther.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's in Atlanta. They were filming the same time that Infinity War was. So he was like, space was sometimes an issue. And Tyler was like, just come down the street. I got you.
Yeah, but you also know what he's doing too, though. Yeah, come on down, use my stuff. And all of a sudden you're going to see him at Black Panther 2. Or you're going to see him as part of the consulate of the United Nations in the Avengers. You'd be like,
he's gonna,
that slick motherfucker just worked his way into a Marvel movie.
I made the joke, like, if he's not there playing some corrupt congressman from the bankhead section of Atlanta mad that we didn't give our freedom for the hood. So, like, then we have failed. So, no. But just, like, stuff like that. And that's why I was asking, like, what type of, like, your theater breakdown.
It was all over the place.
Yeah.
Young, old, black, white. There's the theater I go to has got a pretty heavy Mexican population around it. So a lot of Mexican people in there. And before anyone decides, oh, it's obvious. It's what we say on the show. Yeah, we do see color. We do see differences, but it doesn't mean it's bad. So
yeah, it just is what it is, and it's kind of like that's why a lot of movies. Like I remember when certain movies I see, like if you see with the wrong crowd, it can be boring. Like I went to Wonder Woman one time, and it was like I felt like it was in a library. Like no one said anything, and it just quiet the whole thing, and it's like the movie felt worse. Like it wasn't like it. You go to a movie with the wrong crowd,
yes,
it can make the movie seem bad. Like absolutely. Even if the movie is good, it's like make some damn noise. So I'm fortunate where this wasn't an issue, but no. So we can talk about, you know, beside after he rescues the kid and everything like that, or she rescues herself, and then they have the first fight. Like, you know, who's there? Who wants to challenge the Black Panther? Because one, it's a whole party scene, and you just see all this color and culture, and it's like a big party. And I know you see the guy with the plate in his mouth. I know that just so creeps you out, and it's just like, hey, it is what it is. I'm sure they probably see us wearing purple jeans and just wondering what monstrosity we have.
Yeah, but well, it's not connected to my lip, motherfucker. So, even I mean, this is not a new thing either. This is even like looking in magazines or what they used to call encyclopedias. You'd see that in there and our studies, whatever. Oof, I don't even like the gauges for earrings. I think that stuff grosses me out too. It's like, yeah. But then, and this is dead honest, you see someone with like the plate, is it, I'm going to say plate in the lip like that. This is how stupid I can be. I automatically assume they didn't talk. So when he started speaking in the movie, I was like, what? And then they gave him subtitles, thank God. But I'm like, that never crossed my mind that they would actually still speak. And then I just went, God, you're an idiot.
Like, so, yeah, you could still open your mouth.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know why. Like, even the, like I saw Jurassic Park, the original one. It never occurred to me dinosaurs made noise. I just figured they was walking around. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
it's an animal, like an animal that damn like.
You're
a
not
mouth?
Gonna say anything no one else has said and made fun of me for. So,
no, I always wonder how they know how a dinosaur sounds. Because it's kind of like you can make an estimation based on how they look. Most people get it wrong, and people even said, like, even Jurassic Park makes a thing like, we have dinosaurs look the way people think they look, not exactly how they look. Because having a Tyrannosaurus with a bunch of feathers would probably look stupid. But I always wonder, like, how do you know how they sounded? You know, like, whatever. I guess you can make up whatever sound you want. Like, nobody was around back then. And I don't know enough about, you know, archaeology to know you can break down sound from a fossil. Maybe you can. That wasn't really my field. But, yeah, that part is funny just thinking about that. But it's like, you know, he's about to have his fight. And it will never not be funny. Forrest Whitaker break down. And now we will take away the strength of the Black Panther. And have him drink. Cussing or whatever it is he's drinking, and he's just going through a crack. See, like, because it happened twice, and both times, like, you know, Forrest Whitaker was good in this movie, but it was just hilarious, just him just playing like Yoda and everything like that. And then he had his first fight with M'Baku, and like, I remember, like, this actor, this is his first movie, his name's Winston Duke, and I remember him from Person of Interest, like, he was great in that too. And you were asking, like, how tall is he? Because, like, he was wondering, like, did they just film it certain way? Like, no, he's like 6'4", 6'5".
Even then, he looked giant. I mean,
yeah.
For those who don't read the comics, that character is called White Ape? Yeah, White Ape.
Man Ape.
That's it. And I like the clever ways they got around not saying it. I think they even started to say it at one point, and then they got cut off for some reason. And I'm like, okay. To me, the comics guy, I'm like, well, that's his name. But then I also sit back and go, all right, someone's probably not going to like that. So it's not a make or break aspect of the characters. It's like, whatever. So,
you know, but you know the funny thing about it, and he brought it up in an interview saying, like, they know about the racial connotations, but that's an American thing. Over there, think about it, Wakanda. Yeah. They haven't had to deal with none of that crap. So they can embrace having a monkey as, like, you know, their symbol, their god, because, like, for them it represents power. It's not, like, a stereotype. They haven't had to deal with the negative stereotypes of colonization and racism, anything like that. So they can do that. So it's not an issue. And he basically, so, you know, they have their fight. And he's kicking his ass. And you know, it's like, yeah, maybe he needs to stop fighting in water, because neither fight went well. Like, you know, the first one's kind of like, oh, I got to throw on a leg lock and cheat, more or less. And, like, he gets the win there. And then that character was hilarious. Like, he wasn't in there a lot. You think, like, you know, he's just going to be a big bully like that. And then he breaks down, like, yeah, you know, y'all just forgot about us. Y'all busy forgetting your roots and just embrace, you know, this. Y'all got a little girl, you know, run technology, like,
running,
you know.
You're kind of running the country, yeah.
Yeah, like, and you can see where he came from. And then later on, when they pop up there, you see, like, you know, they're there, like, you know, take the herb, my son did this and that. And then kneeling down and speaking. And then Ross starts to speak. And he just looks at him, starts barking. And barking some more, and everybody there. And we are just rolling. And then it's like, you know, you speak one more time, I'll feed you to my children. And then he starts laughing and say, I'm just playing, we're vegetarians.
Okay, so since you brought up Ross again, this is a good way to get into him.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the change they made with him. And that scene there, though, kind of harkened back to what that character originally was.
Mm-hmm.
He was the fish out of water. What did Martin Freeman say? He was like, everyone's seen the white guy, like the uncool white guy hanging out with black guys. And it's old and it's played. And when this series originally came out, that's kind of what the character was. He was a CIA agent, but he was lower level, and they just gave him over to Black Panther, and well, not gave to Black Panther, but he was the liaison, whatever else. And one of the opening scenes of the comic is Black Panther and his entourage show up, and he's like, "What the hell am I supposed to do with these guys?" And then it just kind of went from there. In this movie, that's really the only scene where he was like, "Wait, what? I'm out of my element," and that was it. And the rest was, he didn't take over the movie. He didn't become the focus. He just became another part of this.
It was almost kind of like they forgot about it. He was like a nuisance. Like, okay, I guess we'll use you. Because before he gets shot against the Wakanda, he's like, you know, what are we going to do? They just a bunch of sheep herders, yada, yada, yada. T'Challa, I know you got a fancy costume. You're a little third world country, but we got this. Well, you know, I'm Mr. White CIA man. Let us handle this. He gets to Wakanda, he's like, y'all can do this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, he almost woke up in, like, he went to sleep, woke up in the damn Matrix. Like, what? Huh? Like, how you guys can do all of this, and you got all this technology, and y'all can do this and that and everything? Like, he does stuff, but it's kind of like everybody's leading him. Like, do this. Hit this button. I need you to do this, this, and that. Like, I know you can do this because you're a pilot. Stay out the way. And it's kind of like he's not doing the whole I'm Tom Cruise, I'm going to do stuff better than you can, even though you grew up in 1,000 years and I got a 1 week of training. It's kind of like, do what you're good at and don't do nothing else. And we got this.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, it's kind of like that's how they played it, and they played it perfectly. It wasn't like belittling him, it was just making sense where he doesn't know the politics involved. It's like, no, he just got, they don't need a fighter. They got, as you see with the Dora Milaje running around, like, you know, we don't need you picking up a gun. But, you know, I know you can fly, so fly this simulator and do this, and that's all you need to do. And I'll tell you exactly what you need to do, what buttons to hit, and everything like this, and, like, go for it. Get in, get out. Like, he was part of the movie, but it wasn't like it became a redemption. Like, he had an arc, but it wasn't like this big redemption story where he got a whole bunch of screen time to do that. Like, he didn't suck up the air out the room.
Right, and that's what I enjoyed about it, too. I mean, because in the comics, he becomes a pretty integral part of the story. I mean, hell, he becomes king of Wakanda at one point because T'Challa didn't tell him that he ceded the throne so he could go do something else, which is like the comedy role. But I liked how it started off that, yeah, he was a CIA guy. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then he gets there, and immediately it's like, okay, well, I didn't know what I was doing. Because most of the time it's something like that, and this always drives me nuts in movies. You see what's in front of you, and you go, no, I don't believe this. Or, how can this be? It's like, well, I'm in a world with Captain America, Thor, the Hulk, and all this. Yeah, that works. It's like, they didn't go through that whole expanse of, no, I can't believe any of this is actually happening, and I'm still smarter than you guys. It was very refreshing that it was like, yeah, okay, I'm the CIA, and I get it. And
I think the surprising part wasn't necessarily that the technology was there, even though technology was, like, way past anything you've seen. It was more that they had it. It's kind of like, because everyone, and it's funny, like, even at the end, like, people are like, oh, Wakanda's going to open up. Yeah. What can y'all do? Like, imagine if, like, Singapore was, like, 200 years ahead of everybody as far as technology, and nobody knew. And then one day they said, like, you know, we can send people to Mars in a week. People be like, huh? Like, I mean, they be looking like, for real? I'm like, okay, that sounds cute. Like, can y'all teleport? Like, y'all can do teleportation too? Like, it would just sound ridiculous. Because one, the technology, even like, you know, as far as advanced technology is on like that Earth with Tony Stark running around, we're kind of way past that. So just think about the fact that you're way past stuff that people can even think of now. And then the fact it's like somewhere you would never expect it to be. And because you'd be wondering, like, how they have this nobody knew? That'd be your first thing. Is like, because you, and it's like, that's the big thing about Wakanda, is kind of like, we hide this for a reason. Because if people knew, we had to fight. And the kid's like, okay, well, we at a point now, we can beat everybody. And basically, she's got a point. Like, ain't no one going to run up on us. So let's open up and try to help people. And they like, you know, that's not, because we do that, we're going to be fighting. We bring the wrong type of people in, and they can't keep a secret. But then everybody else is like, you know, people. And it gets the whole thing with Killmonger, his whole thing. Like, he gets there, and he's like, you know, I'm such and such, and I'm going to take this. Like, it must be real cute. Y'all just here chilling, living in luxury with your vibranium sandals, eating all good, and everything like this. And everybody was like, you know, we was getting, my parents, grandparents getting whipped, and people getting abused by the cops, and slavery happened. Because it's like, yeah, if you was a black man in America, and we found out one day, like, Nigeria was really Wakanda, we'd be pissed. Like, seriously, it's like, you trying to tell me you had all this technology, all this time, and y'all were just minding y'all business, like sending people to like the World Cup, thinking everything was all sweet. You know, seriously, like that, like, yeah, a lot of people from a lot of countries that had the same skin color like them, and Killmonger brought up a good point. Like, how do you think they're gonna take that? It's like, you abandoned us. And not only that, they abandoned him personally. Like, even if you're gonna hold the, you know, you gonna keep the world at bay, I'm part of the family. Okay, something happened. You had
literally
to kill my
part
dad.
Of the family,
yeah,
in this case.
Yeah, I'm literally part of the family. You know, beef happened. You killed my dad because he broke the rules and he tried to kill your homie. And, you know, that's tough and rough for you like that. If you explain it to him, the reason why, it's a chance. He, you know, he may have some harsh feelings about it, but it's like, you know, I can accept it and I can learn to deal with it. You just leaving him, and it's kind of like, and they knew he was there, and they just bounced out because, like, you know, we had to protect that lie. And it just shows when you see the whole spectral visions. Like, you see Black Panther's one, and the first one he's having with his dad, it's like, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to be a king and how to rule. And like, it's like a noble Lion King thing. You see Killmonger's like, you know, you see the purple sky and the black, but it's in the same ratty-ass apartment, and, you know, he's trying to figure out what to do and how he got abandoned. You get to see, like, just the emotion there, like, you ache for what he's going through, even though he's just garbage. But it's kind of like, you know, he looks like Michael B. Jordan. He's doing a lot of cool stuff, so you forget that stuff. And then, you know, it's like, how come he just, like, yeah, he shoots his ex-girlfriend just to get a better shot at Claw? Or his current girlfriend. It's like, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, first time somebody counts to say something, he grabs an old lady by the throat to try to choke him out. Oh, we have these herbs here for, you know, future Black Panthers. Ain't going to be no future Black Panthers. Burn them. Like, huh? Then he realized, like, no, it ain't about the Wakanda Empire rising and covering everybody. It's about him. Like, I want to take over. It's like that whole Daenerys thing when they asked, like, what are you going to do about succession? And she looked at him like, the hell you talking about? Like, do I have cancer and y'all didn't tell me? Like, y'all took me to die next month? Like, I ain't thinking about that. I got dragons. I got stuff to do. And his whole thing is like, I want to take over I want to, you know, liberate black people and kill everybody else, including their children, for me. Because y'all hurt my feelings. Like, yeah, so, nah.
And then, all right, so what I'm trying to figure out is when he burnt the flowers or whatever they were, that was supposed to stop the succession for Black Panther, whatever else. But being Black Panther doesn't mean you live forever, because King T'Chaka, how the hell do you say his dad's name?
T'Chaka.
It is T'Chaka. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's his name with a K. It's the T'Challa, right. T'Chaka. Yeah.
He was an older man.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a succession. So it's almost as if, I guess that's part of the character, though. He didn't think ahead. It was today, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, never mind. I had to think that one out loud, I guess. But yeah, that part surprised me. And then I also, like, I guess it was supposed to be... All right, this is one of the problems I have with the movie. They went through the ceremony. You know, he fights, gets to be Black Panther, goes through it again, and I'm like, well, he's clearly going to lose this. I would have actually, I guess structural-wise, like, I expected it to be, like, 3 or 4 of these. At least 3 Black Panther movies. I wouldn't have minded if Killmonger, like, that whole thing took place at the end of the second one. And you're just like, wait, what? Like, give you some sort of, like, kind of like a Empire Strikes Back feel, where the bad guy wins.
You can't do that the first one.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that could have happened in the second one. The second Black Panther movie. If you know, and this is just my own creative difference, but it was obvious he wasn't dead. It was obvious he was coming back, as demonstrated by one of the funnier moments of the movie, when T'Challa is laying down in the snow, and a guy a couple rows back goes, "See, I told you." And his friend leans over and goes, "Shut up, dummy." Yeah, I was like, well, who the hell was good? Storm's not in this movie. So...
Yeah, like,
but his sister did take over at one point.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's like, can you imagine a Black Panther movie where Black Panther, like, can you just imagine that, like, he dies and his sister take over? People are like, people lose their damn mind. Like, imagine you had Iron Man, and at the end of the movie, Iron Man dies, and Terrence Howard takes over as, you know, War Machine.
Well,
yeah, I like,
it'd be like, all right, like, cool, but Fox News wouldn't, like, no, never mind, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it's kind of, but it's kind of like, no, it's like, you don't throw that type of thing in. Just to do that. Like, you could do that with, like, a second or third movie. So,
I think
the biggest issue with the movie, and it's funny, it wasn't long enough. Because that third act, it was kind of like, it went from, it was fine up until Killmonger took over. Then it was like, he takes over, he have his plan, and then they fight back. Like, it seemed like that kind of happened kind of quick. It was like, you know, we got this new king that's got this whole radical plan, and he convinced one sucker to do it, and then enough people, it's like, some people down with, some people not. The Dormilaje kind of like, you know, we gotta roll with the crown, even though we don't want to. And then 15 minutes later, people fighting each other. It's like, and you wonder, because they made an effort saying how Okoye and Daniel Kaluuya were, like, you know, together as a couple. Like, they kind of applied it, but they didn't really do enough to, like, flesh that out to say, like, you know, what side are they on? So when they had to fight, it's just kind of like, it wasn't as impactful as it could have been, because, like, they're on opposite sides, but how, you know, where their thought process is. And it's funny, we talked about this long, we haven't talked about her. And one, the Dormilaje is a badass. Like, it's something about a bunch of tall, strong black women that is bald with spears just in fighting formation like it's 300. It's just like, you know who's, you know, it's going to be a lot of new costumes for Halloween. Like, you can tell that.
Well, one of our friends already has his costume for Halloween. So
yeah, like, between Black Panther, Killmonger, and, like, all these young girls who didn't have anything to dress up for, wear a flesh cap and shave your head, grab a spear, boom. You're a warrior. But that scene in Korea, like, that whole scene was just great. And it's funny, we hadn't really talked about one before getting there, like, you know, the old Korean lady, like, oh, you're here to start trouble, like, what's going on? And they're like, so, you know, like, the key has been around, and it's kind of like, it's implied, like, it's funny where you get a lot of stuff based on small things, like, they imply a lot of stuff, like, you know, they basically broke up because she had one idea for Wakanda, he didn't. Like, she wants to see the world, and kind of like, you know, she was a spy. And it's like, you know, I want to, like, free my people and show them it's a better way. Not by murdering everybody, but, you know, go around, do things here and there. So she's been around. They're there in the casino and everything like that, looking around. You know, Corey got this, you know, she has this wig. And on the normal move, like the wig looks great, it looks fine, but she's just so uncomfortable. Like on the normal movies, like, oh, look at her, she looks glamorous. And her, she's like, she can't wait. Like it says a lot as soon as they start fighting. First thing she does, throw the wig in somebody's face.
Yeah.
But no, that, and you can tell Ryan Coogler can direct action, because you remember Creed when they had the fight scene where they had like the, you know, they had the whole steady cam, like, and they film everything, so you see exactly what's happening. He did the same thing here. Like, you could see what was happening. It wasn't no quick cut here to this thing. It's like pan is slow. You see people do this and do that, and like, she was badass in that movie. Like, I was like, wow. Not even, and then the car scene, and like, we had some jokes. Like, it had some jokes in there. It had some great scenes. Like, the whole scene when the car is about to blow up, she grabs the spear. Yeah. And, yeah, like, it's just, it's so many things that's just going there. It's like, and then one when Sherry Carr blows into a million pieces, and then she falls on her ass in her lab. And then when their car blows up, and you just see Nakia sliding down the highway with a steering wheel in the chair. Like, this is some... That's what Tyrese would be in a Fast and Furious movie. And people were rolling. Like, that was so damn funny and just hilarious. Because it just sounded like, you wouldn't expect that. Like, it was a comedy scene, basically, in this high-speed action chase. Like, something like a Blues Brothers or something like that. So,
yeah. Yeah, good call, actually. Yeah, no, that I'm glad you remember that, because I had forgotten. That's why I was laughing like that. Yeah, that was unexpected, because... There's a strange dichotomy to deal with, because you've got these really serious people. I mean, they're assassins. They're the King's Guard, you know. And then to see something like that, and you know, it's always a time honored thing. You put the serious person and put them in a ridiculous situation, you get funny of it. It always works that way. That's why the straight man is always the one you're laughing at. It's never the goofy guy. So yeah, that was really good. And the technology involved in that, I'm like, wow, this is going crazy. And then they gave it to Ross at the end as well. And one thing we failed to mention on Ross was they actually displayed his bravery too, because that thing is beating on the window with those guns, and he's going and going and going. And
I'm gonna finish the mission.
Yeah, for somebody that he doesn't really know. But then he also, going back to where he accepted it, just realized, yes, that's how important this is. Like, he automatically believed, yeah, if these get out, it's the end for a lot of people. So just put a little cap on Ross there. Until the end, when they showed him at the UN, and it was...
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that UN part, because Coogler said he had it at the end as a cut scene, because Iron Man has such an impact. Because people were saying, like, it reminded him, like, the end of Iron Man 1 when they have the thing, and, like, he comes out and says, I'm Iron Man.
Yes.
And I remember how shocking that was, because before that movie, having a secret identity was such a big deal. In a superhero movie, like, you have the alter ego, and you got the hero. And it was always like, you know, don't let them find out your secret. So for when he was like, you know what, I'm Iron Man, it basically changed the rules as far as, like, how Marvel treat the comic here, because it's kind of like... Besides Spider-Man, like, besides Spider-Man, everybody knows who everybody is. Like, you know, that's why you don't really, like, there's no secret identity. Like, you don't got to worry about wearing a mask or hiding. It's like, everybody's out in the open. And that kind of changed the dichotomy of that. And it's funny with Black Panther, where people don't realize, like, it's some people that kind of know, but people don't realize, like, yeah, this king of this third world country is also running around as a superhero. Like, that's not really common knowledge yet, and I'm wondering, like, you know, sooner or later it's going to come out, because it's kind of like, you know, they open up stuff like that, but it's like, they're bringing that part back that, beside the part with Spider-Man, wasn't really a thing in the Marvel Universe, and having Ross play that foil is perfect, because, like, he's had the most interaction with anybody else, with him, compared to, like, anybody else in that universe before that movie pops out. So it fits that he's in the movie. So, like, it works. Like, they did enough things that worked. And that was one of them. But I'll say this. Okay. Did you ever think you'd see a movie, like, when he blew that horn, I was wondering what was going on. You ever thought you'd see a movie where you see, like, a war rhino?
Okay. Well, a rhino and vibranium. I'm like, what? I was... Okay, and this is where we talked about this on a previous show. where I wanted, like, I was wondering how they were going to handle the politics and handle the setting of Wakanda, because Wakanda is not the city. Wakanda is an entire country that had all of these different aspects. So you've got, let's just put downtown, whatever, is where the vibranium is mined. That's where the commerce is. That's where it's not a burgeoning city, but it's a lively, real city. There's all this technology, but there are people still in huts. There's still people with, like, open-air market that they live out there, it looks like. Then you've got the farmers, then you've got, you know, the other guys out in the mountains. And they did a good enough job explaining it to where it made sense. So it's like, at the end, you've got all this going on, and then all of a sudden, there's rhinos in metal. I'm like, huh?
Not only that, and they pull off, like, you think, oh, they got this nice scarf. So I'm like, no, that's a damn energy shield. Yes. So it's like, and it's kind of like, it makes sense because, like, it is Wakanda, but, like, you hadn't thought about the technology. Like, everybody has the technology. They just can decide whether to use it or not use it for the most part. But you hadn't really thought about that, even though it's kind of like, you know, this isn't just a few people have it. Like, this is just part of the thing. So when they pop that out, it's like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I'm definitely expecting, oh, it's a vibranium rhino. Like, yeah, that's different. Like, it's because it fits, because, like, you know the whole African belt thing merged with, you know, super technology. But that's not something you think about. Yeah, I'm gonna see Black Panther someone with some other a war rhino that's gonna pop out. Like, that didn't pop in my head for obvious reasons, even though it makes sense seeing it, just because who would think of something like that? So that's what I like about them, why it's kind of like it makes sense in that universe, even though it just seemed like I just laughed my ass off when I saw them. Like, wow, Lord of the Rings just popped up. Like, that's what I was thinking when I was watching that.
Yeah. Oh, God. I didn't even think about that. All of a sudden, the orcs have laser shields. Yeah, I'm like, good. Maybe that should have happened in The Hobbit for those three pieces of garbage. Ugh.
Because that's basically what happened when they're having that fight where it turned into, like, a Lord of the Rings fight all of a sudden. Like, you know, you having these different tribes fighting each other. And it's funny, even then M'Baku say, you know, immediate speech to freedom, yada yada yada. And at first they're talking to each other, he's in the background, then all of a sudden he just yawns all loud obnoxious, like, are y'all done? Are you finished talking? Like, you know, it's like, no, we're not, like, you're a noble guy, but no, we're not gonna fight. Of course he's gonna come back, but it's like the whole Han Solo thing, like, we're not gonna fight for you. Like, I'm not gonna sacrifice, cause, like, I'm here to take care of my people. You the first person, like, what, hundreds of years to come even visit here. So y'all didn't care about us. Y'all doing your own thing. Keep doing your own thing. It is what it is. Black Panther's like, whoa, he done with us. Who you think he coming for first? Like, you know, like, he going, like, sooner or later he going to see him. So of course when he pops up there, it's not that surprising. But there's a lot of stuff going on. And those gauntlets Shuri had should have looked silly as hell, but they were just so damn cool. Because it's like, you forget, like, she's like a teenager. And I kept having to remind myself, like, yeah, she's a teenager. So it's like, you know, she's super smart and mature for her age, but she's still a kid. So that seemed like something like what would, like, I was thinking, like, what would Jaden Smith have?
Okay.
Yeah. That's the problem. Like, he would have a weapon like that. So it's like, yeah, that makes sense. If I'm a teenage, super smart millennial, but I'm still a teenager, what would I have? Yeah, I have these little tiger paw claws that can shoot laser beams and everything like that. Because I ain't trying to kick and punch nobody. I weigh 95 pounds. So, yeah, keep away from me. And I'm a clock you. So, like, I know some people. How do you like the final fight scene between T'Challa and Killmonger?
Okay. This is one of the shallow criticisms of the movie. Is this is a Marvel movie, and I wanted just a straight up fight, but they kind of already showed he's gonna best him quick, or not quick, but he already beat him once. So I don't know the whole, what was it, Sonic Disruptor thing, and then the train going through. I was it kind of reminded me of Civil War, not Civil War, Winter Soldier, where I just wanted the two to fight. And then, you know, Winter Soldier had the helicarrier, whatever, falling apart. This has got the train and the sonic disruptor interrupting everything. I kind of just wanted to see a mano-a-mano fight.
Yeah.
You kind of got it, and then... But also, and this is one of the things I was going to mention, too, is Black Panther, like, he's got the powers of the Panther. Whatever, they really kind of made that a mystical thing, more so than strength and all that. It was the suit that really did a lot. And yes, he knew how to fight, but the suit, you know, suit really helped him. Mm-hmm. To where it's almost cheating. Which, I mean, it's hard to say that a superhero's cheating, obviously.
When the other guy had the suit too, and they both had the herb, and I think that was the thing where when we see him, it's different when you see him fighting like regular people when he has a suit on, because he's like, I got the Black Panther herb and I got my suit, and then you see him like the first two hand-to-hand fights, it's like, okay, I lost the strength of the Black Panther, so I have, you know, so I got to fight like a normal person, and like the first guy he's fighting has him by like what, 6-7 inches and probably like 80 pounds.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be a, you know, he can't go like a fist fight. And the second one is like, yeah, I know T'Challa's been trained, like he's just been they need to step up their martial arts skills, because I'm like, he got the floor wiped. Like that fight was almost like I was thinking, like it was like Rocky IV. Like, I'm waiting for somebody to say, throw the damn towel. Like, oh, he just...
Yeah.
And it's just funny thinking about that, thinking who he played. I'm like, it wasn't even, like, a competitive fight. And I don't know, because it was kind of like he underestimated them. Killmonger's younger. Killmonger has military training. He's filled with... I don't know what it was, or to say the script pointed out that way. But even in the comics, it was like that. Like, Killmonger was just cleaning the clock. Like, cleaning his clock whenever they were fighting. So... And I know he took his shirt off. I know women had a reaction, even with all those war marks. And it's like, you know, I've been all over the world, Afghanistan, Iraq, this, that. I killed people who look like me. I killed, you know, honest people, innocent people, just to get a chance to kill you. You can't say stuff like that and then people say, oh, he's the hero. It's like, no, that ain't how it works. You only say that when you just want to get boned by him because he's cute. Because if he's an ugly man saying that, you ain't saying like, oh, yeah, I can be with his side. It's like, no, that ain't how it works. I will say, like, and I had the same criticism about the last fight too. But one thing, because people talk about the CGI, and one thing I forgot about, this was being filmed at the same time as Infinity War. So you got to think about that. They're both under Marvel things. Coogler used most of his people for everything else, but he doesn't do a lot of CGI stuff, so it's probably the Marvel people. It's only so much CGI to go along, and Infinity War is obviously the priority, so it's kind of like, you know, you gotta share. And I'm wondering if how much of a... Because the honest thing, and we don't talk about enough, as much CGI that's prevalent, it's hard to do well. Like, James Cameron does it well because, one, he's James Cameron, and two, he will wait as long as he needs to wait to let the technology match to what he wants to do. Like, why do you think Avatar keeps getting pushed back? Like, it's not, it's like, you know what? I'm going to do it when the technology matches what I want to do. And he can do that because it's like, I'm James Cameron, the two biggest movies of all time are movies I did, so kiss my ass and wait. Most people don't have that attitude. They can't do that. They're under a schedule, so it's kind of like, you got to, you know, do what you got to do. And it makes me have more sympathy for the whole mustache thing in Justice League, because I've seen pictures of Superman and how he looked, and it's like, yeah, that is an ugly look. But then I think about, like, CGI is hard. Like, and it doesn't age. Like, I'm trying to think. Marvel movie, and we haven't talked about rankings. I got this in, like, Winter Soldier, like, 1 and 1A. The main advantage Winter Soldier has is his action scenes, because this one, Black Panther has, like, I want to say two or three that, like, stand out. Winter Soldier got, like, five.
Yeah.
Like, way top-notch. And it's, like, a lot of practical stuff. So it just ages well. Like, I know the end is kind of like all the helicarrier stuff can get annoying. But the stuff before that is, like, it's, like, 30 minutes straight nonstop. Like, between the stuff Falcon's doing, the stuff Captain America does, the stuff Winter Soldier does, and then the fight that Captain America Winter Soldier has, and the fight Falcon and Crossbone, like, it's, yeah. So, but beyond that, it's like, that part kind of bothered me, but it's kind of like it's under the, you know, the constraints of budget and stuff like that. I will say this, that last line Killmonger had when he's, you know, first when he finally sees Wakanda, and then they talk about we can save, like, no, you know, let me die,
yes,
and put me to sea with my ancestors who knew better that death was better than captivity. Man, that hit so damn hard. Like, I'm like, one, how the hell did they have this line in this movie? Like, that's the first thing that popped. Like, that's like some American, that's like a HBO Stars type. If I'm watching 12 Years a Slave, I expect to hear a line like that. If I'd have seen a robotic rhino, I'm not expecting that type of line in that type of movie. Like, even though the movie has built that, they let that in, I'm like, that's a powerful damn line. And that's kind of like, that line kind of hit me, because I'm just like, just the stuff that we go through here, and I'm like, I've been reading this book about like housing and stuff like that. I know it's a lot of black people, like, you know what, it's probably a defeatist attitude, but sometimes they think like, maybe it'd be better off if my great granddad would have just jumped in the damn water. Like, and it's a fatalistic attitude to have, because it's like, you know, because then you have the chance to fight and like make stuff better. But it's like, it's tough sometimes, and you just think about thinking where you're somewhere where not only do people don't like you, they don't even look at you as like a human. And your granddad had to go through that, your dad had to go through that, you going through that, your son going through that, and it's like, nah, I'm all right. Like, it gets to a point sometimes, and you try to, and I'm glad the movie ended with hope, because mm-hmm. that was like the overriding thing. Because it gets to a point sometimes where it's like, you know what, you can only fight a losing battle for so long, and it's like, you know, I'm kind of throwing in the towel, let somebody else do it. And you don't want to have that attitude, but it's real, it can be sensible at times, because like, that type of life ain't necessary. Like, I'm glad I have the life I have, but it's a lot of pain that had to, for us just to get to this point. It's like, I'm glad they were strong enough to go through it, because I know a lot of people who would not have been, and I don't know personally if I'd been strong enough. I might have been one of those, like, you know what, I'm jumping off this damn boat, take my chances with the sharks. Like, seriously. So that line there, so that's why I didn't have an issue with Killmonger dying, because, like, I saw your point, kind of like, you know, he's one of the main heroes. I mean, he's one of the main villains for Black Panther. What are you going to do when he's gone? But it's like, the life he lived and everything he's gone through, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have made sense, like, oh, he's going to be locked up next to Zemo. It just seemed like it would have been, like, cheap.
Yeah, and also, with him, I don't know if redemption's the right word, but you almost kind of want to see, for me personally, yeah, there's all that stuff, the comic stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you hear everything he's gone through, you hear everything that he's talking about, that it's almost like, just for the both of them to try and mend that, at least to try to mend it, not saying you can, because that's such a gigantic fence to put back together, but I don't know. And the fact that he took himself out is another thing, and it really goes along with the line about jumping over, and which, I mean, I know what you were joking about the sharks, but you jump over, they're going to shoot you anyways, unless you're in the middle of the ocean, they're not going to screw them. But you know, it wasn't that jumping over ship wasn't, you know, I don't know, this has got me. It's been a long week, dude.
Some people actually did that, because like, the hell, like, yeah, the hell with that. And then it's just so loaded where, and I'm like, I know it's like a lot of posters from like certain parts of Africa that it hit them a certain way, because they, even though they didn't do it, they felt like, when people talk about the slave trade, they a lot of times forget, like, it was a two-part thing. It was like people just came and snatched people. Like, a lot of countries, like, I'm gonna sell you these people I don't like, do whatever you want with them. Like, yeah, imagine, because I remember thinking about the whole Ben Affleck was going through, he felt a certain way when he found his ancestors, like, you know, owned slaves. Imagine, like, you from Ghana, Nigeria, and you found out, oh, your great-granddad used to sell people to white people to go work somewhere. Like, that would hit, like, if my family did that, knowing what slaves went through, that would be some rough shit to deal with. And I know a lot of people kind of came up, say, you know, it hit them a certain way, because they never really thought about that, even though it was part of the thing. And Black Panther hit on those topics where stuff that we kind of know but we never talk about, and you wouldn't think about in like this big quote-unquote popcorn movie make you ask these type of questions, like which path is the right path, and you know, which way to go, and all the stuff you kind of deal with, like whose fault it is. Because the second time T'Challa went to the spirit plane, he was pissed. He's like, y'all was wrong, y'all know y'all were wrong. And it's kind of like, you know, we could have saved this boy and we abandoned him. And everybody thought, it was almost kind of like that's why it's kind of like he kind of felt weird. I got to defeat Killmonger because it's like, it's still the right thing to do. But it's kind of like you could see why he became the way he became. And the fact, like, my dad I looked up to was not like the noble thing that I thought he was. Almost, and it reminded me of Thor. And it's kind of like different because Odin, you don't feel my, Odin was a dick.
Yeah.
But at least he was like, it was consistent, like, from first Thor, Jump Street, he was always a dick. And he did not, like, you know, I'm ruthless, I yada, 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 I love you, but I'll let you die. Like, the whole thing with Loki talking about, oh, I was destined to be a king. He like, you were destined to die. I should have left you on that rock, but I was nice. So it was like, yeah, I wonder why. Yeah, like, why is Loki the way he, like, it's funny, like, and it's a pattern where people talk about Marvel villains. If you know, like, the last three or four, they've all been justified. Zemo was justified. Michael Keaton, like, the Vulture was justified. Hela was definitely justified. And so was Killmonger. It's like, they just villain by circumstance. It's kind of like, you know, like, I thought about that. Like, for all the complaints, because Marvel villains, beginning were kind of, like, disposable. Because it's like, you know, the hero origin story, we focus on the heroes, and that's how we want to go. The villain's just there for a foil for the hero. Loki was just important because he got time, and it was like, he was an integral part of the story. So that's why he always stood out. And now you notice with their most recent ones, they're fleshing out their villains more. It's kind of like, yeah, he's a bad guy, but it's not just bad to be bad. It's not like Red Skull, like, you know, I'm going to be bad because my face burnt off and I want to rule the world. Not that type of bad. It's like, yeah, I got screwed over when I was young by somebody I loved and trusted. And yeah, I'm getting payback to do what I feel is right because y'all ain't doing the right thing. And that adds weight to it because it's like the fact that you can debate who's on the right side tells you, like, you know, I'm trying to think the last comic movie that kind of did that. To an extent where a lot of people's kind of like was on Killmonger's side when they had no business doing. And the closest one I can think of is like the Nolan Batman movies, like, and the Joker. And that's, and it's funny to think about that, but when you think about it, it's like, yeah, like the Nolan Batman movies, those villains kind of had a point. Like all three of them. And it's just weird thinking that, but I was wondering like, which comic movie basically is kind of like the, you could easily see, like, has certain things pointed the wrong way, you could easily see yourself like being with the villain side. And it's either those movies or like X-Men with Magneto, and that's really about it.
Yeah, we could keep going on forever on this. Maybe we can pick up more next show, but let's get out of here. Obviously,
well, one more thing.
Okay,
how much money do you think it'll make?
What's it at now? 240?
That's 240 domestic, and it's at like, it hadn't even come out in China yet, and it's like 440 worldwide.
Well, you were saying, though, that China's weird with black people.
But this is different, because countries that normally weird with black people, Black Panther's been first or second. Like, places where black people normally don't do well, like, Black Panther's I am so glad that we kind of killed this notion that black people don't dwell overseas, because, like, that's been a lie. If you really think about it, like, I know people talking about, oh, you know, like, 12 Years a Slave Moonlight made more money overseas than it made here. We're going to pretend that Rush Hour wasn't a thing. Like, even if you don't talk about Eddie Murphy, even though his movies was big as hell, like, and if you want to ignore the fact that Will Smith for like a decade was the biggest star on the damn planet, Rush Hour with Chris Tucker and Jackie, those movies made money. And it wasn't just money here. Those movies made money everywhere. The Fast and Furious movies, they make money. the only white guy in there is Paul Walker for the most, up until like the last one was like, and I know people like to pretend The Rock's not black. His dad's called, his dad nickname was Soul Man. Like this whole, and Denzel's a thing. So it's always been this idea saying black movies don't sell overseas, so we don't put money in the black movies, and then they don't put money in the black movies and they don't sell overseas. So yada yada. Marvel gave the only budget, the only movies with a bigger budget than Black Panther movie that Marvel made, like Avenger movies. That's it. They gave Ryan Coogler more money than they gave Spider-Man Homecoming, more money than they gave like Doctor Strange and Ant-Man, $200 million. That's a lot of, like, it ain't 300 like Justice League, but it's like $200 million. Yeah, they gave him a big ass. They gave him a big ass. $200 million is still a lot of damn money. They gave him $200 million and let him do his movie the way he wants to. And we're talking about this like, oh, the only movies that's making more than this on this scale was The Force Awakens, a Star Wars movie, like the first Star Wars movie after what, 20 years? The one everybody was waiting for, like the first one after, you know, Disney brought, you know, Lucasfilm. And the one people would think of, like, that movie, that's what we compare Black Panther to. Like, people, and even now when you see the projections, like, oh, well, you know, it may even make $800, $900 million. I'm like, Spider-Man Homecoming almost made $900 million. I'm like, people are still underestimating how much money this is going to make. So, having said all that, one, how much you think it'll end up with worldwide, and two, how does Infinity War, like, it's funny now, it's like, I'm looking forward to Infinity War. Now it's kind of like, they like, we better hope it worked, because you remember the conversation we had with, like, Wonder Woman? When it got to the point where, like, you know, Justice League come out, it's like, we got at least to try to hit, and they didn't. And it made the joke where it didn't hurt Gal Gadot one bit. Like, her movie outgrossed Justice League. Black Panther made more its first weekend domestic than Justice League made, period, domestic. Already, yeah. So
I'm actually trying to do some math in my head, because the movie's lost from Friday was the biggest day, 75 million, and it made 20 million last night. Well, 76 million, 21 million, but it's going to go back up this weekend, because Annihilation, no matter how much they try and pimp that thing, is not going to do that great with Black Panther out. I'm figuring it does what? 40 million? This, like, it's 40. Damn. I'm trying to figure this out. Anyways, I don't know. It's going to make at least 800 million here, I would think.
Nah, I wouldn't say that much.
You know?
Not American? No, that's. Nope. I think that's like Titanic level. Because that's like.
Alright. Yeah. Maybe worldwide it'll make
well,
that.
Well, yeah. Well,
wait,
I would
what's
say...
Jumanji at? Isn't that almost $1 billion? Is that worldwide?
Jumanji worldwide is like at like 900 million.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. I'm going to go 800 worldwide then. That's what I'm talking about.
It might hit then in like 3 weeks.
You think?
800? It's almost at 500 now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm looking, man. Yeah, I'm looking at this all wrong. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, it's funny where, like, I would say, I'll do the prediction. I think domestic, it may hit like 500. And worldwide, I want to say like 1.3.
Yeah, it's right. Not out in China or Japan yet, or Russia.
Yeah, like the big ones. It's not even out. You know, I want to say, because I'm trying to think, because it's kind of like, and then like, that's a big ass, and even then might be kind of like underestimated, because even now people still like saying like, oh, we didn't expect this to do that, we didn't expect, like, you keep hearing we didn't expect it, but we still expect it to play like a regular Marvel movie. I'm like, it's not playing like a regular Marvel movie. So I think people need to kind of like take that out. The, you know, when a movie say it's the biggest or second biggest movie of a Tuesday in a non-summer season, like the second biggest Monday or the first biggest Monday of all time, you can't use the same logic you use for like Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Like you can't. But people, I think, you know what the biggest thing is? Is like, even when you see something you don't expect, you can't wrap your head around it.
Yes.
Even when you see it, it's kind of like, you know, you're just used to something being that. So even when you, like, if I made a joke, if you, like, imagine you've seen Godzilla, you still couldn't believe you've seen Godzilla. You're like saying, that's just a lizard. Like, imagine you walked out your window and you just saw a 100-foot lizard shooting fire. Even if you saw it with your own eyes and you heard it and you felt it, your brain couldn't process it. And that's what's happening with Black Panther. Like, this is the fact that comparing it to the Star Wars. Like, that's insane. Like, I don't think I'm stressed enough, like, how insane that sounds. Because we talk about box office, like, oh, yeah, it made 200 million. It's the fifth biggest movie ever. And then you think about that. Ever. Like, of ever. The whole, since they've been doing movies. And the ones in front of it were two Star Wars movies, the first Avengers that had 5-6 movies built up to it, and Jurassic World that had, like, 15 years of nostalgia that somehow snuck up on that. And it's like, okay, yeah, you can't compare it to how Spider-Man did, or how Thor or Civil War did. You compare it to, like, event. Like, I'm here, people trying to see movies on a weekday, and they sold out, like, 4 o'clock. And it's February. It's not even the summertime. Like, people still in school. It ain't spring break. People still at work. When's the last time, and this isn't like, you know, you're going to see Lincoln. When's the last time you remember imagine you trying to see a movie at 3:30 on a weekday, and somebody say, oh, no, it's sold out.
Well, there's a lot of unemployed people out there. Get a goddamn job.
Yeah, I doubt they're dropping it. Yeah, more than likely, they might be bootlegging off a Fire Stick. So I doubt they're dropping that $6,000
man. I need to do that, by the way. I just thought of that. I don't know if I just incriminated myself or not, but everyone else does it, so.
Yeah, radio, we will blurt that out on the when this
whatever. But come get me.
But it's just, I can't even, and I had high hopes for it. It still fascinates me how well this movie is doing. And now, it would have been laughable to think, like, this movie might outgross Infinity War. And now it's not laughable. Like, I know, the Russos are fine. I trust them to do what they're doing. And I know everybody's excited, especially after this. But it's kind of like, you got some added pressure if you're the Russos. It's like, you better, yeah, it's like,
well,
you
too
can't
late
say,
now.
Oh,
that thing's done.
Yeah. I know, it's kind of like, yeah. And it's like, it's different when the Avengers came out because, like, you know, Iron Man and Iron Man 2 did well. Captain America and Thor, like, you know, the Hulk didn't really do anything, and Captain America and Thor did okay. So it wasn't like, you know, you had to overcome that. So it was like, it was a build up to seeing them as a team for the first time. So you had all that, and you had the movies laying the groundwork. But it wasn't like, besides the Iron Man movies, it wasn't like this whole global phenomenon thing. This one is kind of like almost the end of, like, how we see Marvel, as we know, because Marvel's going to probably look a lot different after this movie's out, as far as, like, who's going to be running. Like, you got the feeling where, like, you know, the original Trinity was Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, and it's a good chance the new one is going to probably be Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel, with, like, Doctor Strange and Guardians kind of filling the things. Like, it's going to just look different. And it's like everything since Avengers dropped, everything's been building to Thanos, so it's going to be the culmination of that. But that's coming after, like, a movie that's, like, just a monster. And that's a lot of pressure, because people going to be like, oh, yeah, that's cute, but, yeah. Like, imagine if Infinity War made $1.2 billion, and people like, oh, how come y'all can't make as much as Black Panther? Like, just imagine that happened. Like, where you, like that'd be a failure somehow, even though that wouldn't be. Like, that would just be so mind-boggling.
And that, well, that's, I'm going to say Infinity War will do more, just because of, it's got everyone, the curiosity factor is going to be there. But if it doesn't, I don't think I'd be surprised either. Not right now, at least.
Yeah.
We still got to track how this goes, yeah. But the way it's going.
I think the biggest advantage is with Infinity War, it's going to be Marvel fans who've seen all of them. Like, it's going to be like people who've been looking forward to seeing this, and everybody's going to see this. Black Panther brought in people who never see comic movies. So some of them may see Infinity War. And I like this, so, like, you know, Black Panther will be in there. So, you know, I doubt my mom will go see Infinity War just because Black Panther's in it. Like, it's going to be people that, you know, it's like the whole thing, I like the person doesn't necessarily mean I want to like the brand. It'll get a lot of, like, new people, but it may be a lot more. That's kind of like the whole WCW, WWF thing. Like, it's, people remember, like, when WCW went out of business, a lot of people didn't just go watch WWF. They just stopped watching wrestling. Like, I'm done. And it may be, like, a sizable amount of people, like, oh, I'll see the sequel of Black Panther. I'm not a wrestler. Because imagine, Black Panther, at least you had the advantage of, you didn't really have to see any of the other Marvel movies, and you were fine.
Right.
Imagine your first movie is seeing Marvel's Infinity War. Yeah, like,
that's gonna be one hell of a long opening credit.
You're gonna get a lot of who's that? Who's this? What? Who then? Yeah, so no. Wow. So that would be the whole X factor there. So I'm curious to see, because I have the sneaking suspicion, and I'll figure after next week. I have a guess. I got a sneaking suspicion it's gonna be if Infinity War makes more, it won't be by a lot. And I would not be surprised if Black Panther don't make it more.
Well, we'll find out. And yeah, we're also going to see what Black Panther does next by this time next week. And we can go into this a little bit more. Because all the CW shows were off except for Legends. So that was disappointing. So anyways, we're going to get out of here. So guys, go see it. It's good. So, I don't know if anyone's going to expect something different. Except, you know, do they really need to make these movies? Anyways, so I'm Jeremy signing off. Stunk Randy, all social media. You can find us, we watch stuff, all that good stuff. And yeah, have fun, gang.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Duhati. And if you see a broken white boy, please save him. We are out.